Hello and welcome to this podcast around why saving and financial control matters. Key questions and practical insights for South Africans that is powered by PSG Wealth. In this episode, we're going to be unpacking some of the big questions around saving, why it's such a crucial part of financial independence, how starting early can set you up for success, and why steady, consistent habits often beat those big once-off efforts. We'll also explore how taking control of your money can be empowering and why choosing long-term security over short-term spending really does pay off. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'm going to be your host for what looks to be a great discussion that's going to be unpacked by Adrian Pascoe, is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth, sharing his insights into why saving and financial control are so important. This July is National Savings Month, and whether you're just starting out or rethinking your approach, there's definitely something here for everyone. Adrian, it's always good to talk to you. And maybe where we can just start for today is to say, why is saving money a cornerstone of financial independence? Simple sounding question, but I'm pretty sure that the answer isn't so simple.
Hi, Nadima. It's good to be on with you and talk about this. And National Savings Month. So very opportune time to be talking about savings and the importance of it. I think first and foremost, we've discussed financial freedom before, and it sounds quite similar to financial independence. But I think it's really important to make the distinction before we head off into a deeper debate. But financial freedom is really more about being entirely free financially, not being dependent on even a salary or employment. And that's a rather ambitious goal for probably every South African. But when it comes to financial independence, it's actually something a lot simpler and probably something that affects most South Africans at some point. And financial independence is really about not being dependent on someone else in the event of a crisis. So say, for example, a COVID hits, not having to rely on either parents or children if you're older, and not having to go to the bank to borrow money or, an overnight loan type of thing. And I think that's something that we all can relate to. And something that's quite interesting, a research study that was published by the South African Reserve Bank going back to 2023 indicated that 45% of South Africans cannot cover even a 5,000 rand emergency expense without relying on someone for some support. So it paints a picture where people aren't saving sufficiently, and they inevitably run into a problem somewhere in life and then find themselves in a bit of a bind where they need to depend on someone else. So saving money becomes the cornerstone of that financial independence, because without saving, you can't be financially independent. You won't have an emergency fund. And the same could be said it doesn't just apply to an immediate crisis. It also affects to a very large extent people in old age. I think we've on feels like hundreds of occasions referenced the statistics that say that only 6% of the population will be able to maintain their lifestyle in retirement because they didn't save sufficiently for that. So where does the shortfall then come from? It means that you are depending on someone else to fill that gap. Again, going either to children or parents or a bank or something to along those lines. So having sufficient savings around in the event that you can lean on that for emergency fund, or saving for retirement so that you aren't dependent on someone else, is really what we're talking about today. Some additional statistics, just for some additional context. A survey done by the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, the FSCA, which is the regulator in the industry, that was done last year, say that 68% of South Africans cite money as a significant stressor in their lives. So from that perspective, savings is there to provide some peace of mind and lowering that financial anxiety that people experience. And I think the most important part is it changes your mindset once you have these savings. If you're living from month to month, always worrying about where's sufficient money going to come from in the event of a crisis, I know I'm going to have a problem, versus a mindset of I've routinely saved a little bit. And even in the event of a crisis, I would hate to spend that money, but at least I'll be independent and I don't have to be anxious. I know I have something at least put away for that rainy day, puts you in a position where even if the rainy day does come and it doesn't deplete all your savings, you can start to think about some of the more positive things in life. Like, where could you potentially invest something? Can you maybe afford to start your own business? Can you maybe afford to help someone in the family with furthering their education and those kind of things? So it really becomes a life-changing habit if you can save routinely and properly over time.
Adrian, one of the things that you just mentioned now is that fact that we've been speaking about on a number of occasions around the fact that when people reach retirement age, very few people are actually able to retire or have enough savings that are there. And when it comes to time, once again, maybe that's when we can talk about why starting to save early amplifies that financial success, the time factor, because some people might feel like, well, I don't have a lot to save right now, and then only start saving later on in large amounts, but even then might not still get to the goals that they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. The way I like to think about it in a very simplistic way is the difference between success and failure is effectively 10 years. If for most people who save insufficiently for retirement, and say, for example, you can afford 60% of your lifestyle that you managed, or you could fund 60% of what you require, then you're left with a 40% shortfall, which feels quite substantial. But if you start saving 10 years earlier, the research shows that typically people end up with double the amount of retirement savings at the end of their careers, which means all of a sudden you move that 60% to 120% and you actually have excess savings available relative to what you might need. And that's why I say starting early makes a huge, huge difference. That 10 years, it's what shifted you from failing miserably to not only succeeding, but also adding some surplus to your savings.
From everything that you're saying in terms of being able to get that surplus, let's talk about, I guess, why taking control of your finances is empowering. You did mention just now some of the confidence that comes from something like that, but maybe we can get into perhaps being a bit more specific around why something like that is empowering.
Yeah, I think it touches on multiple levels. It's interesting we engage with the fund managers in the industry quite often, and it's remarkable how often you hear someone that's a financially trained person that went to university and studied investment management and all of that. And they say, when I started doing this 20 years ago, we made some obvious mistakes and I've learned through the process, etc. So even for those folks, they managed to learn and improve over time. And it's the same thing for any saver out there. The earlier you start, the more you start to learn, the better you get at it. That in itself is a very empowering process. And I think it can be quite motivating to have these small successes over time and see your skills improve and actually find some joy in the savings journey. I think people always see this as sort of a grudge purchase to put money aside. But I think if you approach it with the right mindset and a openness to learn on the one side and a vision of a long-term goal to give some purpose to what you're actually busy with in terms of building wealth for yourself, that can be quite empowering things. And as I mentioned, it puts you in a very different mindset from one where you are continuously backpedaling through life to make ends meet into a position where you are in yourself confident that you are okay financially, And you can actually think about the people around you that might need some support. You can step into a mentorship role to help family members or children. It's a completely different mindset that translates into a completely different way of life. And I think that must surely be incredibly empowering to people who've gone through that journey, or to people who are at the beginning of their savings journey, to go through that process and see how it empowers them over time, how they develop their skills, how they grow their wealth, how they become less stressed, more independent. A lot of components that speaks to the empowering nature of saving.
Tied to what you're saying, Adrian, is the, because it's one thing to be able to start saving earlier in life, but quite another to be doing it on a consistent basis. So why is it that being consistent in terms of saving is more impactful than sporadic large contributions?
Yeah, again, there's some interesting research that has been done on this before. So the University of Cape Town did some research in 2022. And what they found is that people who follow a more automated savings plan have a much higher success rate than people without one. And if you think of this on a very practical level, it makes sense. If you were to, you know, I think like, say, for example, if you from time to time, I think we all want to lose a bit of weight. If you were to do this and say, I want to lose 10 kilos and I'm going to do this, and then in 6 months' time, you pick it up again. That's just how it goes. And it's because you have this short-term view of it, and it's because you haven't made it a routine in your life. And saving is very similar. If you recognize that it's important to save, but you sort of go with the angle of, I'll do the best I can when I can, and when I get a bonus, I'll put a small bit of it away. That's not really developing a savings culture. That's almost more opportunistic in nature, which is not really what investment and wealth accumulation is about. And wealth accumulation is about discipline and consistency. And that means that it's far more powerful to do something more regularly in a disciplined fashion and going at it that way. And it's funny how this happens, but even if you look at the math and the investor behavior component, it supports that approach. From a behavioral point of view, people are just more inclined to stick to the plan more. If you say, I will do what I can when I can, never happens. It never arrives. And then people, you know, don't go through that process. But if you know, you've got a 500 Rand debit order that goes into your XYZ investment every month, come hell or high water, you're going to pay yourself first and you'll sort out the rest. People who adopt that approach and putting it into their monthly budget have a far, far, far greater rate of success, because now they've made it a lifestyle choice, not a opportunistic choice. And I think that's where the power really sits.
One of the big things that I am getting out of today's conversations, Adrian, is that it is the more simple, the more basic, and dare I say, boring types of habits and activities that actually help a person to reach the financial freedom that we're talking about. And tied to that is, you know, long-term security versus short-term gains, right? So why should financial planning prioritize long-term security over short-term gains?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think people sometimes confuse the wealth accumulation process, where they tend to think of it as, I need to find ways to make money quickly, versus I need to think long-term and think about the things that I can realistically do over a 40-year savings journey that's easily attainable, very difficult to disrupt, and I just need to be disciplined. And I think it's because people don't appreciate, I mean, we always talk about the power of compounding, and that's definitely a huge component of what we're talking about. But there's also the power of very good habits and routines that features into good savings discipline, where if you sort of go with the idea that you're chasing the next big idea over the short term, maybe you've got a 50-50 chance it works out well. If normally people end up on a lose-lose side, if it doesn't go well, then you've lost capital. if it does go well, people end up making money and they chase after the next idea, and then that one might not work, or they cash out the money and spend it anyway. Either way, you're not really engaging in saving or wealth accumulation. Where if you're thinking long term and you do the calculations and you say, what, actually, for me to get to my financial goal, I've got time on my side. I don't want to retire tomorrow. I want to retire in 30 years' time. That 30 years' time is actually the biggest asset that you have. You've got time on your side. You can afford to be patient as long as you're disciplined. So you can start putting a little bit away every month, even if it is boring, and see what that does over time. It's almost like do it and forget about it. And if you pick up a statement in 10 years' time, you'll be surprised. If you pick up a statement in 20 years' time, you'll be blown away. And that's the way you should think about it. The overnight success stories aren't realistic. It is, in its nature, a very boring exercise, actually, but it's super powerful. And just because it's boring, it doesn't make it necessarily easy. You need to be disciplined around it and accept that the plan that you have is actually a winning strategy as long as you don't interrupt your own success. And that's really the key component there.
And something else that actually ties into that that theme around, you know, the flash and bang and, you know, people looking for things that are exciting as opposed to being boring is gratification. You know, a lot of the time people are trying to get those quick wins and that type of thing. But I think that's a great place for us to end today's discussion around how can delaying gratification actually lead to rewarding financial outcomes?
Yeah, I think the unfortunate reality that most people face is that you must almost decide. You can either be a little bit more constrained and frugal today, and that will be to the benefit of your future self in 40 years' time, because then you won't have to depend on anybody else. But it means that you can't necessarily go out and buy and spend whatever you like today. So delaying that gratification of today for your future self, I think you'll thank yourself a million times over in a few decades' time. And the other example that sort of illustrates this is that think about purchasing a car. Cars aren't cheap these days. Say, for example, you have 500,000 Rand today and you would like a new car. You've seen a new car on the road and it looks fantastic and you've worked really hard. You deserve a new car. You can spend the money on that car and that instant gratification is yours, but that car is going to be worth half it's worth now by the time you've added a few miles on it. Or what you can say is this 500,000 Rand actually has the potential to, say, double every 7 years, just for argument's sake, which is a realistic return. And if it doubles every 7 years, do the math and see what it's going to be worth in 40 years' time. And that's actually the amount that you're spending. Is the car really worth it? Do I really need it? I mean, if you need a car, that's something else. But is it because you want a car? And that's really what we need to think about in terms of delaying gratification. It comes at a huge opportunity cost that's often underestimated. You're not just spending 500,000 Rand. You're spending all the future potential growth that comes with that money. So think carefully before you just fork out money. Saving is a lot more rewarding for you over the long term.
On that note, that's where we come to the end of today's discussion. It has been a great one, just emphasizing the place and importance around when it comes to saving and financial control. I think a big theme that came out of today's discussion, based on everything that Adrian was talking about, is that when it comes to reaching financial success, financial independence, it is the careful, considered, often boring type of planning, work, and discipline that goes into achieving these things, such as automating your savings, such as just following a simple financial plan and just making sure that you stick to it, emphasizing the fact that, yes, some of these things can sound boring, but actually executing and doing them actually proves to be very hard for many people out there. Also getting into some of the practicalities around why starting early, amplifying sacrifice financial success at the same time, why prioritizing long-term security is better than short-term gains, and then also talking about why consistent savings is more impactful than sporadic large contributions. So that's been it for today's conversation, just talking about why saving and financial control matter, key questions and practical insights for South Africans powered by PSG Wealth. I've been your host, Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on Spotify, Player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.